Father, thank you for surrounding us by your hedge and opening the heavens to us that we might behold your glory. We ask, so, Father God, that you put your bloodline and your shield about your people, that you would enable them to move by your Spirit, that you will energize in them, Lord, your Spirit, your life and your power. And we thank you, Father. You surround us by a wall of angels that we may know you, we may love you, that we may understand what it is, O God, to walk in the Spirit, flow with your Spirit. So, Father, allow your Spirit, Lord, to open the eyes of the understanding of your people, that we all may know and enter the dimension of your spirit. Live in it, walk in it, flow in it. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name. Amen. Praise God. You may be seated. And we'll have you know that the reason why we sang just now, because of what we want to do tonight. You notice that there was a different atmosphere now than before we started the song. Because as we sang, there was more light, it increased. And there was a certain energy level that we need to have for what we need to flow into tonight. Now, we have mentioned that we'll teach about the spiritual world and we will have some practical sessions. And so let's lay down the groundwork and the theory. Everything that we see around us in the physical is not the real world. Everything that we see of the physical world is what the Bible calls the temporal world. It's temporary. It's not eternal. The real eternal world is invisible to our physical eyes and in the spirit. Let me give scriptures for that. In the book of 2 Corinthians, verse 18, chapter 4, verse 18. 2 Corinthians, chapter 4, verse 18. It says here, while we do not, notice the word do not, we do not look at the things which are seen, or, in other words, visible. But at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporary, but the things which are not seen are eternal. See, Paul was a spiritual man. He doesn't look at things physically. He tried to see things from the spiritual realm. He himself says he doesn't look at things that are seen, that are visible in the natural realm. He always seeks to look at things from the invisible realm, which is the eternal spiritual realm. And that is how we need to train ourselves to walk in this life. To look into the invisible realm. Notice his word again. We do not. Notice the words. We do not look in the spiritual, but we look in the look in the natural, but we look in the spiritual. We do not look into the natural, but we look into the spiritual. But the people of the world, they look only in the natural, but not in the spiritual. Henceforth, we need to train our eyes to look in the spiritual. And that's what we are tonight. Now, a few more verses, laying the groundwork. Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews 11, verse 3. By faith, we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that the things which are seen were not made of things which are visible. Implying the things that are seen are made of something invisible, the pattern of them. And that's the realm that we need to touch on, we need to transform, we need to change in the spiritual realm. One more verse in the book of Romans, chapter 1, verse 20. For since the creation of the world, His invisible attributes are clearly seen. That means God's invisible attributes, love, joy, peace, and all His mercy and grace, all the nature and attributes of God, they are invisible, are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even His eternal power and Godhead, So that they, that is men, is without excuse. All the world is a Bible which show forth God's attributes. Everything that God made reveals something about Himself. What is this physical world like to the spiritual realm? James 4 verse 14 tells us that the things of the world are like a vapor. They are here for a moment and they pass away. We feel them to be solid because we are of the low vibration. But angels pass through walls, Jesus can pass through walls, because to them this is nothing. The real eternal world is in the spiritual realm. And when we want to affect things in this realm, in the visible realm, we must affect it from the invisible realm for it to change the visible realm. Because the visible is only pattern and a shadow of what is in the real invisible realm. We live in an upside down world, in other words. For example, there's a light here, and I put my hand here, and my hand is casting a shadow behind on the screen. That shadow is not real. That shadow is not real. My hand is the one that is real. But we all live in a fallen world that is in the shadow. Bible calls it like a vapor. The real world is invisible to us. That is why if you pass away from this life, you enter into the next life, it's a real eternal one that lasts forever. You see, this is a temporary world where things are in a state of decay all the time. Things are constantly breaking down. When something breaks down, what does it tell you? It is only temporary. It retains those images for a while. Slowly the forces of nature changes it and it decays. So if everything that we see, that we touch, that we feel, that we taste is a shadow, and the real thing is invisible to us, the real world is in the spiritual world, then obviously if you want to change the shadow, you don't try to move the shadow. Try moving the shadow. I can't. See, I'm opening up the palm of my hand. Why? So the shadow is showing an open palm. If I try to make my fingers close up by moving the shadow, I can't. But if I move my real hand, my shadow changes. Can you see that? In order to effect change in this physical world, you cannot operate in the physical. Because the physical is not the real place where things are effected. You must effect the change in the invisible realm. Because this physical world is only a shadow, although it's a three-dimensional shadow. It's a three-dimensional shadow that we feel, we touch, we feel, we see. But it is a form of something else, which is in the invisible world. And tonight we're trying to talk about this invisible world that you're in contact with. Every human being is in contact with the spiritual world. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 verse 23. It says here, "Now may the God of peace Himself sanctify you completely, And may your whole spirit, soul, and body be preserved blameless at the coming of Jesus Christ. Your spirit, soul, and body. We are tripartite in nature. Your body contacts the physical world. Your spirit contacts the spiritual world. Your soul contacts your body and your spirit and your self-conscious. That's who we are. Now, the difference between those who are born again and not born again is that when you're not born again, your spirit has only a tiny measure of life to sustain your physical body, and your spirit is there. When a person is not born again, it doesn't mean that they only got soul and body. They do have spirit, soul, and body, but their spirits are not connected to God yet. When they were infants, before the age of accountability, they were once connected. There is a sister on this side here with a pain on your left side. You don't have to go away tonight without your healing. Just receive it tonight. You have that pain here? In this section here? Left side? Person with a pain on the left side? Sister. Just floating up like a light. Without speaking, just coming forth. If you have that symptom on your body, tonight you don't have to go away without that healing touch. And more information. You had that for some time and it comes and it goes. But from time to time, it's so troubling you that you find, and I see a vision of you rolling, moving about on the bed. Sometimes it's very hard to lie down on one side. Is that getting more information of someone with the exact symptom? You find it hard to sleep because as you lie down, you got pain on your left side. Is there more information necessary? Okay. And so can you ask her to stand up right where she is? Sister Eunice? And Annie, can you lay hands on her? Because I know she's from your group. More information coming. Tonight I'll tell you how to get those information, right? It's information from the spirit realm. See, I'm just picking up a vibration from her time. Thank you, Jesus. When she was small, about the time when she, before she turned 10, she used to have these experiences of like spiritual forces pressing on her. And because of the sensitivity that she had, and this pressure of things pushing and pressing on her, is God's going to set you free from that. And from tonight onwards, the Lord will open the spiritual world to her. And does she understand everything? She understands. Thank you. And that the Lord will open the spiritual world to her. And tonight she will receive a lightness of the Spirit. And she will find that her spirit moves into a different dimension and is energized. And the physical symptoms that she used to have, dizzy spells, besides the pain that finds it hard to roll around and comfortable on the bed, oppressiveness, atmosphere that's on her, all these symptoms will disappear, for we declare it, we release it, Father God, and we thank you, we worship you, that you impart, Father, your gift of healing upon her life. We thank you, Father, we praise you. We worship you. In Jesus' name, release that. We thank you, Father. Thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. Now, we were talking about 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 23, where there, we all have a spirit, a soul, and a body. With the spirit, we contact the spiritual world. With the body, we contact the physical world. And our soul is in between, which if your soul has more contact with the physical than the spiritual, you will sense more physical. That's why some people, as I mentioned, they are more body conscious. But if your soul is properly developed and it contacts the spiritual, you will be able to be more spiritual conscious. Now, when a person is not born again, they also have spirit, soul, and body. The only difference is that their spirit is not connected to God the way it should be. But as you know, in things like that, in reality, you always have many different exceptions, and no two humans are the same exactly. So some humans are born with a thin line of openness of spirit more than others. But still they don't have like what I call the full connection that should have been with God. When we are born again, something happens in our spirit. Our spirit is born again, a new creation. And thus, God re-energizes the spirit so that our spirit can connect to God easily, just directly in God. So that is the difference. But many Christians have not taken advantage of what? The new connection they have in the spirit. See, when we were born again, we became spirit beings. Our soul remains the same to be renewed. Our body is the same body that we had after you accepted Christ. Doesn't mean that when you come forward, accept Christ, you're born again, zoom, you've got a new body, and all you look so different. No, when a person came in physically, he walks out, physically might look the same. But there's a change on your inside, your spirit. With the spirit, you contact the spiritual world. With the body, you contact the physical body. What we are going to train you tonight is how to understand your spirit man. So that your spirit man that contacts the spiritual world could understand that dimension. Unfortunately, Westernized Christianity is intellect based, knowledge based. And so very seldom are we taught about spiritual experiences. Instead, we are taught doctrines for the mind, philosophy, or what the Christian philosophy is, and what Jesus has done. Wonderful, they are doctrines, but they are in the head. So we are not taught this spiritual realm. Sadly, the non-Christians who don't care about doctrines, they begin seeking spiritual things and they want spiritual experience. And so they hit some things here and there. Sometimes they get deceived. Sometimes sometimes God in His mercy protects some of them. There's some measure of revelation. And they're taught in that realm. And they do have some experiences. And then we just write them all off, say all of them are satanic. No, there's a mixture of satanic and some areas of their own spirit that they tap on. But of course, it's all muddled up. Wrong doctrine, wrong philosophies, all that. While in Christianity, we're so influenced by Western theologians that we have no teaching on this area. We have no teaching completely on this area. We do not know how to move in the spirit. And if there is, it's all the weirdos. who tell you, roar like a lion to get in the Spirit. What nonsense. What kind of theology do they base on? They got to roar like a lion to walk into the spiritual realm. Oh, they base it on Old Testament, the Lion of Judah. Never in the whole Gospel, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Book of Acts, Romans, Galatians, 1 Corinthians, 2 Corinthians, and all the epistles, have we said, they shall lay hands on Christians and they shall roar. If you find such a word, then do it. But there's no words. Oh, we have thought all kinds of weird things that are completely unscriptural. The Bible is the only place to develop doctrine and methods. And so because of a lack of teaching in this area, you got all the weirdos teaching weird things and produce more weirdos. And it frightened everybody else, and there's always a pendulum. People react against it and became more, even more unspiritual. So we need proper Christian teaching in this dimension, operating the Spirit. So let me say a few things about your spirit man before we give you some practice. All of you, I want to emphasize again, based on 1 Thessalonians 5 verse 23, all of you sitting here have a spirit man. Okay? And that one you have to agree, because if you don't agree, we'll be asking you, how come you're still alive? Because in James it says, the body without the spirit is dead. So if you are still breathing right now, and you're still alive physically, you have a spirit. But you're not trained about what your spirit can do and can be. So let me tell you five qualities of your spirit. Five qualities of your spirit. And I promise that we'll have your practical session. But without proper teaching, I do not want to release you into that realm yet. Too dangerous. You will walk out like weirdos. Right. So that's not what we want. So we need to establish the doctrine first. Five qualities of your spirit man. Number one, your spirit man is not limited by distance. Your spirit man is not limited by distance, which includes geographical distance, cosmic distance. You can traverse one place to another at the speed of thought. Your body can be here, and you could see what's going on in Timbuktu, if your spirit man is that good. And you could be here physically, and in Ephesians 2 verse 1 right on to verse 5, you could be seated in the heavenly places. There is no distance in the spirit. It is only pure experience. Now, whether you define it as your spirit leaving your body or going there, or in vision form, you are here in your spirit and all the experiences happening to you here, makes no difference, because there is no concept of distance in the spirit. It's just you experiencing it. Although some people, the only way you can tell whether it's your spirit going into your body, going to heaven, or whether you are down here experiencing all of heaven through vision, sometimes it's easy to tell if you could see the distance moving, you leaving the planet Earth. But you don't see it, you can't tell, which is why Paul says in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, he knew a man, and talking about himself, not sure in the body or in the spirit, who go to the third heaven and saw visions and revelations such that no earthly language can describe. There is, number one, no distance in the spirit. Let me give some examples here. In 1 Kings chapter 18, you notice this is a challenge of Elijah and to all the false prophets. And then you find here, in let's look at that section there in 1 Kings chapter 18. I'll read the first part because it's an interesting story. Ahab in verse 3 called Obadiah, who was in charge of his house. Now, Obadiah feared the Lord greatly. That means he was a good man. And Ahab in verse 5 said to Obadiah, "Go into the land to all the springs of water, to all the brooks. Perhaps we may find grass to keep the horses and mules alive so that we will not have to kill any livestock." Remember, there was a famine. And the king was looking for Elijah, who was hidden by the Lord. And in verse 7, as Obadiah was on his way, suddenly Elijah met him, and he recognized him, fell on his face and said, "Is that you, my Lord Elijah?" He answered him, "It is I." And Elijah says, "Go tell your master, Elijah is here." Elijah is here. He answered him, "It is I. Go tell your master, Elijah is here." Then verse 9, look at Obadiah's reaction. "How have I sinned that you're delivering your servant into the hand of Ahab to kill me? As the Lord your God lives, there is no nation or kingdom where my master has not sent someone to hunt for you. When they said he is not here, he took an oath on the kingdom or nation. They cannot find you." In other words, they just cannot find Elijah. Why was it? Because Elijah was well known at that time for moving in the spirit. And of course, for him, his body moved along. And he used to be transported in the spirit. He was that deep in God. And Obadiah was afraid and said, "If I go and tell the king and I come back, I cannot find you. Because we have tried to find you." I just want to show you the type of anointing that those people move in the Old Testament days. Jump over with me to 2 Kings. 2 Kings. Even the sons of the prophet, 2 Kings chapter 2. When Elijah disappeared, was taken in a fiery chariot, the sons of the prophet said in verse 16, 2 Kings 16, "Look now, there are 50 strong men with your servants. Please let them go and search for your master, lest perhaps the Spirit of the Lord has taken him up and cast him upon some mountain, onto some valley." See, they're used to that. Now let's look at Elisha, who was the inheritor of the same anointing. And although he doesn't demonstrate the transportation of the physical body, you can see a glimpse of his spirit moving and knowing things. 2 Kings chapter 5. 2 Kings 5. There is the healing of Naaman, the famous healing of Naaman. And when Naaman was healed, Gehazi, who was the servant of Elisha, said to himself in verse 20, "Look, my master has spared Naaman this Syrian while not receiving from his hands what he brought. But as the Lord lives, I will run after him and take something from him." So he was greedy. So in verse 21, we are in 2 Kings 5, Gehazi pursued Naaman. When Naaman saw him running after him, he says, "Is all well?" He says, "All is well. My master has sent me. Indeed, just now he told a lie. two young men of the sons of the prophets that come to me from the mountains of Ephraim, please give them a talent of silver, two changes of garments. Actually, it's for himself. So he took two talents, and he says, take two. Took two talents of silver in two bags, two changes of garment, and then he went on ahead. He took everything, he stole it, he hid everything away. And then he tried to innocently go back to see Elisha. In verse 25, Elisha said, where did you go, Gehazi? And he said, your servant did not go anywhere. Ha! Dangerous answer. When you are working for Elisha. Then he said to him, now look at it very carefully. Did not my heart go with you? And in some of your translation it says, did not my spirit go with you? But as I told you in the teaching, sometimes it is like your heart going because of your inner vision. And in the Old Testament, something they understood to be their spirit going. So Elisha says, did not my heart go with you? In other words, I was there watching. I was there watching, and it says, did not my heart go with you when the man turned back from his chariot to meet you? Is it time to receive money, to receive clothing, olive groves, vineyards, sheep, oxen, male and female servants? And then he got the leprosy of Naaman on him. Dangerous situation. Now, what we want to see in that story is how Elisha knew what was happening. He was not limited by geographical space. Same thing with the Apostle Paul. Remember, Paul says, we do not look at the things that are seen, but things that are not seen. So let's look at Colossians chapter 2, verse 5. Colossians chapter 2, verse 5, where Paul says, for though I am absent in the flesh, yet I am with you in spirit, rejoicing to see your good order and the steadfastness of your faith in Christ. So as he wrote to the Colossians, he could see them in the spirit. And his spirit could see what they are like, what they are doing. And he says, you are all doing well. No distance in the spirit. Think about how powerful it is. You could go through walls, you could go anywhere. Imagine pastoring with your spirit free. You could visit your members at any time, day or night. They can put 20 locks on the door and you could look and see whether they're behaving well. Your spirit is not, but of course, you don't have to be frightened because God does protect your privacy to a certain extent. It doesn't allow a snooping pastor or snooping prophet. So, but that's just to tell you that when you develop spiritually, your spirit is not limited by distance at all. That is why in heaven you cannot hide anything. Because everyone is no more limited by physical body. On this earth, without training, we are limited by the physical body. A lot of people are so body conscious, they don't know their spirit can be free. Now you know why in Hebrews 4 verse 12, they divide spirit and soul. Because the soul consciousness is still bound, sometimes to physical, but your spirit is free to flow and move with the Holy Spirit. Number one, not limited by physical space or distance. Number two, not limited by time. your spirit man can be in the present, can go to the past, and can go to the future. How else do you think Moses wrote the book of Genesis? Because Moses was born in Exodus chapter 1. So how did he know all the rest of the things that happened in the book of Genesis, which is attributed to Moses? Some of you may say, by oral tradition, he writes it down. I mean, all the stories they pass on down. Good guess. But what about before writing was invented? What about the time when God created the heavens and the earth when there was nothing to write on? See, when he was on the mountain for 40 days and 40 nights, God showed him everything. And then he could write down all those things. You could go into the past, and you can go into the future. See, when you have verses like the Lord's Supper, let's say the simplest verses, in the book of 1 Corinthians, 1 Corinthians, when Paul made this statement that many preachers read in chapter 11, verse 23-24, verse 23-24 and 25, as you read sometimes, the preacher reads on Sunday and says, Paul says in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 23-24-25, "For I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. When he had given thanks, he broke it, said, 'Take it, this is my body, is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me.' In the same manner, he also took the cup after supper, saying, 'This cup is the new covenant in my blood. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me.' As often as you drink this, eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death till he comes." He says in verse 20, "I receive from the Lord." You and I know that Paul was born again in Acts chapter 9. He was not even a Christian or a believer. Physically, he was not at the Lord's Supper when Jesus did it in the gospel story. Correct. There were only 12 apostles, including Judas Iscariot, and the Lord Jesus. Paul was not there. How did Paul know? His spirit was taken to the very place when it happened. He saw everything that took place. He said, "I received this from the Lord." He showed me exactly what he did. And he says, "I now tell you what he did." Wonderful. He knew. Paul was there in spirit. Going back in time. That's powerful. Your spirit can go beyond time. Of course, it can go to the future. Where, as you all know, John was caught up in the spirit in the book of Revelations. And he was shown things to come. In the book of Revelations, let's look at the book of Revelation in verse 10, chapter 1, verse 10. "I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day and heard behind me a loud voice as of a trumpet. And the Lord showed him all the future things that was about to take place." Later in chapter 4, verse 2, "He was in the Spirit and he behold a throne set in heaven. And he saw things that haven't come to pass yet." So he saw the future. You can see the present, you can see the past, you can see the future. That's the second quality of your spirit man. It's not limited by time. Number three, third quality of your spirit man. In 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 11, it says here, "For what man knoweth the things of a man except the spirit of the man which is in him. Even so, no one knows the things of God except the Spirit of God. So it tells you that the spirit of man knows more about the man than their soul knows, and can search into the deep things of God. Third quality of your spirit man, the spirit man have access to knowledge and wisdom beyond the soul, beyond education. If you get into the spirit and allow your spirit man to access, you might know things that you normally wouldn't know. That is why sometimes children are born and they seem a bit more gifted than others, and they seem to know things, because a part of their spirit has access to the wisdom, knowledge of things, and they know how to build things. And one person, what's his name? André Crouch. However you pronounce his surname. Crouch, thank you. Okay. And his father was a pastor. André haven't touched or played the piano before. One day when the Spirit of God was very strong, his father came and laid hands on his son and said, "God, give to my son the gift of music." And then André went there, the young boy, sat in the piano and played the piano like a professional. Wow, wouldn't it be wonderful? We all can play like grade 8 when you haven't started grade 1. But no taking shortcuts. Some of you are already thinking of taking shortcuts for everything easy. You know? All download, zoom, 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 zoom. What I'm talking about is the possibilities that are there in accordance with God's will. And so, sometimes, as God permits, you could receive a portion of wisdom that you haven't had before. Think about people like Solomon. He was wiser than all the people of his time. He spoke of trees, of animals, of all kinds of things. His knowledge was wide and great. And it all came in a dream. So don't despise dreams. You can check it out in the Bible. It all took place in a dream. The night before he dreamt, he sacrificed thousands of offerings in the temple. And then when he slept that night, the Lord appeared in the dream and said, "Ask, what do you want? I'll give to you." And Solomon at that time was alright. And he said, "I'm still young. I would like wisdom to govern your people." Good request. God was so pleased and said, because you didn't ask for riches, you didn't ask for the life of your enemies, but you asked for something to do God's will. See, if ever God appeared to you, or you got a dream, an angel appeared to you and says, "Ask, what do you want?" You should have your answer already. You should have an answer already. You know, don't some of you and say, you know, "I want $10,000. I mean, God, what do you want? You want $10,000? Oh, I want a private condominium next to the sea. I mean, what do you want? Solomon said, "Ask something anyway. Ask something in line with God's will. And God will be so pleased with you that He will bless you even things you never asked." God says, because you did not ask for riches or the life of your enemy, I will give you that too. Because you asked for wisdom to do my will, to rule my people. And do you know, he went to sleep possibly with an IQ of 110 and probably got up with an IQ of 1,200. That's a nice sleep. So, it all took place in the spirit. Our spirit man has access to knowledge. And some of us limit Jesus. Some of us limit Jesus and we didn't realize Jesus knows everything. One day, son of one of our favorite intercessors, Albert Anthony, knew him for years. He's based in Melbourne. All his sons really are godly people. And his elder son has gone to really love the Lord. And Jesus appeared to the elder son. And in a room. Spent 8 hours with him or something. Many hours, I remember. I could have got a number of hours wrong. And talk to him about what to do in his life. Give him some direction. Jesus appeared in that little house. And then, the son asked Jesus, because he had a broken tape recorder or something. He said, Jesus, you're here. Can you repair that for me? Question. Can Jesus repair your TV? Okay, good answer. Can Jesus repair anything? Can Jesus be an atomic bomb? Just teasing you. Yes, he can, but he probably won't. Now, when Jesus came to the earth, why didn't he bring all the new technologies and all that? Because he had one mission. Save our souls was the most important thing and give us access to knowledge. So when he asked Jesus to repair the tape recorder, you know what Jesus said? Anybody don't know what Jesus replied? Hey? Anyone? There's so many ways why Jesus could answer. Okay. Well, we might leave that as a mystery for additional tips. In the third section of the scripture, we'll know. You got it, sister. So Jesus said, I can repair it, but I will have to repair it through you. I will have to repair it through you. That means that if he is willing, he can tap on the knowledge and he could do it. See, the Bible tells us that people like Aholiah and Bezalel were anointed in the Old Testament to do all kinds of craftsmanship. Silver and gold artwork. All came from the Spirit of God. Third quality of the Spirit, you have access to knowledge and wisdom. No limits. Because you don't want to try to get everything, because then your head will be so big that you need two chairs. One for your head, one for your body. Access the wisdom that you need in your life. That's all we need to do. Because in this life, we all don't have that many years, even if you live 120 or more. We don't have that many years. Right? The only thing you want to do in this life is you want to do what God wants you to fulfill in your life. And that's all. That's all we have time for. And eternity is where we have zillions and zillions of years. So live this life well. Tap on the wisdom that's necessary for your life. So when you begin to see the benefits of the spirit man, what you have access to, some of you probably are kicking yourself in the back. Why didn't I tap on my spirit man? Yeah, good question. Why? When it's all inside you, such access to wisdom available. And here people are struggling with their natural mind. Third quality was quality of wisdom. Fourth quality, also related. In the book of Ephesians chapter 5, verse 18 to 19, Ephesians chapter 5, verse 18 to 19, it says here, be filled with the Spirit, speaking to yourselves, to one another in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. Of course, in 1 Corinthians 14, verse 14 and 15, it says, I will pray with my understanding, I will pray with my spirit. I will sing with my understanding, I will sing with my spirit. Fourth quality of the spirit man. There is music in your spirit. There's music in your spirit. Why music? Because inside each one of us, there is always a melody playing that is sustaining your life. If the music in your life dies out, you will lose all your desire and joy for living. Or sometimes it doesn't die out, you got disconnected to the spirit. That is why some of you, when you wake up in the morning, you find a song coming out from your heart. Sometimes a familiar Christian song. Sometimes a tune. Sometimes a silly little Sunday school tune. Not really silly, actually it's quite nice. And you're wondering, what is this tune in my heart? Because your spirit man is tapping on heaven, and one of the things about heaven is this, there is music everywhere. There's not one place you go to in heaven where there's no music and melody. Everything is so lovely. Everything is beautiful. Not in its own way, but because of Jesus' way. The grass is singing. Trees are singing. Even your mansions are vibrating with sounds. Some of you are getting worried now. You know, wow, so much noise. It's not noise. It's a live melody that flows. There's music in the air. There's music in the clouds. There's music when God speaks. His voice is like running waters. There's music when the angels move from one place to another. Everything is so melodious in perfect harmony. Bible tells us the stars, the sun, all hum with harmony. Now, your spirit man, fourth quality, is connected to that realm. Whereas in hell, everything is in discord. That is why, have you noticed when they want to make a frightening music, it's always a discord. But when you're going to do melodious thing, it's in perfect synchrony and harmony. Because discord hits you. Right? Some of those horrible songs that make your hands stand up. Beulah's head is standing up. Right? Depends what song. Like some people might not like, you know, the screeching of a nail running over the blackboard. And my wife cannot stand the sound of a high pitch near her ear. So whenever I want to disturb her, with a nice pitch, high pitch behind the ear. But anyway, that's just teasing. But there are some sounds that, you know, just jerks you up. But the beautiful sounds of heaven and music. And your spirit man is in contact with it. The day music dies in you is the day your spirit, your soul got disconnected from the spirit and you cannot hear the music. It's the day you begin to feel sick. It's the day you begin to feel less energy. That's why when we first came in, I could sense, when tonight, this, since you're all here, when we first gathered together, I could sense a sense of weariness. You're all not like that now, but I could sense it. It was the combined music of the group. You know? And so if more than 51%, then the 49% who got music inside starts being affected. And there's a weariness that goes. So I say, this will not do. Let's get more music from heaven. That's why I got you to sing I Love You, Lord, before we started. That's why I got you to sing in the spirit. So now some of you don't feel the weariness that was there when you first stepped in. Of course, your natural body will feel some weariness if you have been having seminars for 2 weeks. But the Word makes alive. You feel some sort of life. You just want that contact in the Spirit. That's why, no matter how tired, this is a secret. I know once in a while, life throws everything at you and you don't have much sleep. You're tired physically. Tap on that, friend. And God sustains you. And the music flows of you. So the next time you feel that music in your heart, and it can be a music you do not know. Didn't the book of Psalms always say, make a joyful noise, sing a new song? What new song is David want us all to be composers? You don't compose. You pick it up. It's picking up from heaven. Now, the joyful tune will produce, remember I talked about interpretation of tongues, a message like, do not fear. The little boy gets it, don't be scared. The professor says, do not have any kind of phobias in your life. Normal person says, do not be afraid. And one who loves old King James says, thou shall not be afraid. But all same message, interpreted differently. That's what I call interpretation, not translation. And so when you hear a joyful music, and it hits all of us from the spiritual realm, let's say suddenly the realm of the spirit is open and the joyful music hits us all the time, right now, some of you will sense whatever joyful sounds is in your life. Some of you will sense, you know, the joy of the Lord. But I might not feel the same song. Because, let's say, a 20 or a 16-year-old boy who doesn't know that old song might hear something new and contemporary, which, I'm sorry, I don't know. I can't even illustrate. Whatever new song that they have. And they go, bum 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 bum, or whatever. And then another oldie who loves hymns. And the spirit of joy hits, they say, you know, joyful, joyful, we adore thee. You know, they hear the tune. Are we all hearing different tunes? No. We're all hearing the same joyful melody, but our soul is interpreting it into joy that we understand. And that's why in a worship leader, actually, when you learn this secret, and we're going to show up that in preaching, in teaching, in pastoral ministry, in anything you do, it is not you. It is the Spirit of God. So if you could learn to tap on the Spirit and not on your soul or your flesh, We could be here 365 days a year, three times a day. You see, got such thing. Just read Acts 19. Paul in the school of Tyrannus taught for 2 years. Night and day. They never got tired. The only time was in a different meeting when they were on the upper room. Got one boy, Eutychus, sat on the window sill or something, fell down and died. Paul quickly ran down, picked him up, said he's alright, and then they continued the sermon. It's important for us to know the Spirit of God. So when a worship leader would tap upon, remember, your spirit could go forward in time, see what's about to happen. Your spirit could go into God, and you sense what is the atmosphere that the Spirit is working on. And as you sense it, it could produce 6 different songs to produce the atmosphere. So you produce it. Because it's the same flow. Music express. And when we do ministry, it is not we who do. Remember what I read earlier in Romans chapter 1, it's your spirit that does it. Which comes to quality number 5. Romans chapter 1 verse 9. Romans 1 verse 9. 5 qualities of the Spirit man. For God is my witness, whom I serve with my spirit in the gospel of His Son. And you look carefully what the gospel is in verse 16. I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes. Number 5. Your spirit has access to power. And the power of healing and the power of the Holy Spirit has to flow through a human spirit first. Now, if all the human spirits are open, of course there's a floodgate of power flowing. The spirit flows through our human spirit to bring healing. There's a corporate anointing, there's individual anointing, there's minister anointing, but everything functions through the human spirit as a channel. So it's important for us to understand these 5 qualities of your spirit man that you have access to. Your spirit is not limited by distance, not limited by time. Your spirit is not limited in wisdom. It has wisdom. And it contacts heaven and has heavenly melodies. And your spirit is in contact with the power of God. The resources of power from God. So every time you feel tired, exhausted, you meditate, tap upon your spirit. Through your spirit, access the resources of the spiritual world. That's what your spirit is. Now, in order to tap upon the spirit, we have to learn in our soul to turn our soul consciousness to the spiritual realm. Because the spirit consciousness and the soul consciousness, you need to convey it to the realm of our understanding. And so the position of your soul, the quality of your soul, is not going to affect the quality of your spirit. That's why we all can be born of the same Holy Spirit and have a new creation, new spirit, but we express it all differently because we all have different soul qualities. The soul is now the hindrance. Having learned the spirit, you got to bring it through the realm of the soul. It's always spirit flow through the soul, then to the body. So now the soul has to come in. And remember yesterday night, I talked about the soul being open to the realm of the Spirit in thoughts, in words, in the emotive area. And when it comes to the soul links to your brain. And remember, your brain is not where your thoughts and memories lie. Because when somebody has an... And this is where scientists couldn't understand it. And nowadays, they got a whole book of research called NDEs and OBEs. Out-of-body experience and near-death experience. Whole collection of it. Where some of them people actually died clinically. Zero brain activity. And yet when they came out of it, they could remember everything that took place. So it even came out in a Reader Digest article one time about last year, when they said, researchers are now beginning to identify that the real memory is in the invisible realm called the mind. Not the brain. And they couldn't locate where the mind is. Because the mind is in the soul. Which is not in our atoms and molecules. The brain is a circuit board that connects you to everything of the soul, and the soul connects to the spirit. So if it's so much connection, of course, you've got to make sure all the connections are proper. So let me give you an illustration from technology. Everything about your computer goes through one piece of board called the motherboard. Mama board. So why call it the motherboard? Because everything goes through there. Your CPU is attached to the motherboard. All your graphics card, some are inbuilt, but you want to change it, make it more faster, goes through the motherboard. Your modem, your broadband, connects to the motherboard. And so every little improvement in the motherboard makes a lot of difference. When they began to make the CPUs more and more powerful, then they realized the connection between the CPU and the motherboard must also widen. You can build more and more apartments, Instead of building, nowadays you all build 30, 40, 50 story. Build 200 stories. Wow, instead of containing 3,000 people, it contains 10,000 people in one building. Wow, you build and you build. But you forgot to widen the roads. So the roads were manned in the morning for 3,000 cars. Suddenly, you have 50,000 people living in the area. So in the morning, rush hour traffic, all comes down. So it moves at 1 centimeter per minute. You can't. So they keep building the CPU more and more powerful, and then they say, look, we're going to increase the bandwidth within. So nowadays you got things like, okay, how fast is your thing? Then they say, they don't ask how fast is your CPU now, they also ask, how fast is your motherboard? Can it take 677 megahertz? Can it take 800? And then they widen it as fast so that it can go fast. Superhighway. The electrons can move very fast. And then they say, oh, now the CPU is so fast, but it reached the memory is so slow. So no matter how many megahertz you go on this side, no, it can be a terabit, but your memory is still measured by megahertz, not gigahertz. It's going to slow you down. And it's attached to the motherboard. So that's why now, you long ago the RAM changed from SDRAM, become DDR RAM. Now it's super duper DDR RAM 2. Now they're coming a DDR RAM 3. What are they doing? They're trying to make the speed faster and faster to line up with the other. See, in the motherboard, all the little bits must be together. And so when they did those things, they said, hey, wait a minute. What you see is caused by the graphics card. So the graphics card was long ago running in, that was so long ago, whatever the connection was, the long piece of thing. Okay, let's call it the PCI. PCI connection. Then they say, not fast enough. Let's do the faster connection. And now they have the PCI Express. Just for your graphics card. And by the way, you need that for Vista. For anything else for Vista, it crawls. So we realize that, you know, everything attached to the motherboard must be increased. So your motherboard is like your brain. So many connections. You got your cerebral cortex, your left brain, your right brain, your amygdala, emotional center, all these connections, connect to where? And I'm saying to you tonight, connected to the invisible realm. It is connected to the invisible realm. It's not just a physical thing. There is a connection to the invisible realm. And that is why sometimes when you tweak certain parts of the brain, it releases certain connections. Now, we know where the brain stands, we know where the mind of the soul is, and it's connected to the spirit. That's good. And you know the five qualities of the spirit. The next thing is, you must have the ideal condition. What do you mean ideal condition? Your computers will not run properly if you expose it to 45 degrees centigrade heat all the time. Right? It runs best when it's cool. You need an ideal temperature. The ideal temperature to open yourself to the Spirit is love, peace, joy. That's the kingdom of God. Righteousness, peace, and joy. Because if you don't have those things, you got too much static. You don't believe me? While your computer running, open the panel, use a screwdriver, tinkle around. Ding, 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 ding. Sooner or later, something crashes and short circuits. If you don't kill yourself first. Because you must give an ideal environment. And that is love, peace, and joy. Peace. What kind of peace? Philippians chapter 4. That kind of peace in Philippians chapter 4. Let's look at that. Any verse that has the words beyond your understanding. Okay? Any verse where it has the words, the phrase beyond your understanding, you know what is it they're talking about. What can be beyond your understanding? Your spirit man. Your spirit man. That's why it says in Philippians chapter 4, and the reason we are laying the groundwork is, let me be very honest with you, when we have some practical sessions afterwards to help you familiarize yourself, it's not going to be working perfectly. All of you are not supercomputers with super spirits and super souls with half-baked bodies. Yet. But at least we are testing it. And you know what it is like. So Philippians chapter 4, if you found it, we read from verse 6 and 7. I'll read verse 8 too. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds to Christ Jesus. And then it says, finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are good report, if there is any virtue, if there's any praiseworthy, anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things. Peace that passes understanding. The word garrison is a Greek word that means it protects you, surrounds you, encompasses you like a fortress. That is the ideal condition for your mind and understanding. Now, it can be in degrees, but the greater it is, the better you can function tapping into the realm of the Spirit. Next, Ephesians chapter 3. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 17, 18, and 19. Says there that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you being rooted and grounded in love may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the width and depth and height, to know the love of Christ which passeth understanding, or passeth knowledge. That you may be filled with all the fullness of God. Isn't that interesting? Verse 19. The love of God that passes knowledge. Remember I said anything that passes, surpasses, that begin to touch in the spiritual realm. So number two is the love of God full in you, so that it blows your mind. Peace of God. So great, it blows your mind. You say, wait, it blows my mind, no more mind left. Yes, precisely to a certain extent. But more of your mind resting, not trying to run on its own. Joy, 1 Peter chapter 1. It says here, verse 8 and 9, because they're connected. People know verse 8, but they didn't connect to verse 9. Whom having not seen, you love. Though now you do not see him, yet believing, you rejoice with joy inexpressible and full of glory, receiving the end of your faith, the salvation of your souls. So it's number 3, joy inexpressible, you cannot even speak about it, and full of glory, leading us to receiving the end of our faith. Love, peace, and joy. The more abundantly it is in your soul, the greater your sensitivity to the spiritual realm. Now, in our practical session, we need to pass you a piece of blank paper. If you have a pen or pencil, that would be good. And anyone who needs a piece of blank paper, Pastor James is going to pass it to you. I'll instruct you what to do. And those who are listening this message, but not present here, you could do the same thing, and we'll guide you through so that you understand. Take a piece of paper or pen, and a pen or a pencil, blank piece, which I'd like you to experiment here and flow along with me. I give you some time to find your piece of paper, blank piece, and a pen or pencil that you can use it to write. Having understood the five qualities of your spirit and its ability, mentally, you're just free. Your understanding of what the spirit can do. Your spirit is not limited by space or time. Your spirit has access to wisdom beyond your own education and normal way of gathering knowledge. Your spirit has access to heavenly melodies, sights and sounds. Your spirit has access to divine power. And knowing that the best condition for your soul to function with your spirit is in an atmosphere of love, peace and joy. However you achieve it, whether you achieve a sense of well-being, love, peace and joy through singing, through worship, through meditating, whatever means, you must learn to find your way to sense love, peace and joy in your life. And some people can be made and built differently, and you may have a different methodology to arrive at. So having established that, and taking what we learned last night, that the different parts of your mind, there's a part of your mind that access to words, the left brain, part of your mind that access to images and pictures in your imagination. Part of your mind that access to feelings. Feelings that flow to your amygdala. And your brain becomes just, and your brain and your mind becomes just a receiver. A receiver. Now, I want to express how we bring ourselves to that position. Remember, you won't get everything right at one time, but at least you know some training methods. Remember, methods can change, but principles don't. So, I refuse to have people locked into a method. It can be any methods that you adapt that suits you. But when you practicalize a principle, you always do it with a method. But remember, never belong into a formula. It's the principle behind it. So what we are doing, I have to give you a scripture for everything. It's 2 Corinthians 8, chapter 3, verse 18. 2 Corinthians 3, verse 18. Your mind, which for all intents and purposes, we speak about your brain, since it's a circuit board, it's a physical circuit board of your invisible mind, of your soul, is both a receiver and a transmitter. Like a radio, and a radio is an electronic receiver of radio waves. A TV, of course, is an electronic receiver of TV waves. And sometimes when you have, you're one of those who are short wave radio people who speak to one another, or you're one of those clubs, you not only have a radio receiver, you have a radio transmitter where you can broadcast. And the fact is, your brain is a circuit board of your soul, which connects, of course, to the spirit, and is receiving and transmitting at the same time. How powerful it is depends on your spiritual energy and strength. And your thoughts can come from the devil. It can come from your own self, echoes in your own life. People who have unforgiveness have echoes of those thoughts still floating in there. They keep coming up. can be echoed from your own life, or it can come from God. Your dianoia or your imagination can be receiving images from yourself, echoes from your own life again. And if you have been watching too many ghost movies, you close your eyes, you see them. See? It's still echoing inside. But if you have been reading a lot of Jesus and looking at drawings of Jesus, you know, this might still be echoing in your life too. So the images you see inside your imagination can come from yourself. It can come from the devil. It can come from God. The feelings you have through your entomesis, your amygdala, emotional center, which connects to your emotional area, your mind, can be from yourself, echoes of your own life. It can be from the devil, and it can be from God, where you sense His love and compassion. Now, complicate it a bit further and realize that sometimes, besides picking yourself, God, devil, in all those realms, you might pick it from somebody else. You can pick it up from somebody else in the past who had been there, and their thoughts are so strong that it lingers in a time span before it weakens. Or you could pick it up from somebody in the future. See, there's no time dimension when it comes to all these things. We'll talk about that realm tomorrow. Right? Today is practical a bit. And I'll show it from the Bible. Basically, in Matthew chapter 12, verse 36, it says that God will judge everyone by every word that they say. Every idle word. Every idle word, a word came from a thought, correct? Words come from thoughts. Your thoughts, somebody else's thoughts, you repeat, whatever. Nothing that is said or done and taught leaves your life without making an impression somewhere in the invisible realm. Because they are quite real in the invisible realm, although they seem to be just emptiness in the visible realm. So you begin to realize that it's not as simple as we thought, God, devil, or yourself. Now, if you walk with God, you have eliminated the devil. And he can't penetrate. That's why I mentioned about love, joy, peace. So he cannot penetrate. But the devil, when you see God right now, or Jesus, what would you feel? Love. What would you see? Light. What thoughts would you have? Loving thoughts. Correct. If the devil were to come, which he won't, this is a church, we don't want him. The devil were to come and say, stand here. You would feel fear, but not yours, because he emulates fear. He radiates fear. You would have fearful thoughts arise. You would see darkness. Alright. So what I'm trying to show is, if there's a devil, although there's a fear, you could tell that it's not your fear, but you're sensing his presence in the fear. Because all of us, if you walk with God, a cloth with a shield. That's why you put on the armor of God, the shoes of the gospel of peace, the girdle of truth, the armor of righteousness, and then you have the shield of faith, the sword of the spirit, The breastplate of righteousness, that is, or armor. And all this represents some sort of covering. But overall, it just simply means a shield around you. A shield. And that shield is the shield of love, peace, joy. Now, you know why I emphasize that? When you're garrisoned by peace, it means that nothing can penetrate the peace. So, strangely, you can pick up fear without being fearful because of your peace. The word garrison means it protects you. Romans 16 says, the God of peace will crush Satan under your feet. So love, peace, and joy. Perfect love casts out fear. So when love is full, there is no room for darkness. Now, these are ideal conditions. The reality is that most of us don't have perfectness in these areas. We all have chinks in our armor. Sorry. That we are slowly growing out from. It's not an instant thing. You listen to one session and then you all suddenly shoot within 1.5 hours. It sends everything. It's a growth process. But at least you got the principles and the practicality. So to love, peace, and joy, you eliminate the devil. And you also understood that there's the human realm. If all of us are receiving and transmitting, Jesus knew the thoughts of the people around Him. Sometimes you don't know the thought, but you can feel the thought. Aren't babies like that before they learn language? Babies don't understand what the parents are speaking. That's why parents end up speaking funny languages to them. Ga ga ga. You think the child knows what ga 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 means? You know? Look up here, if it's a smart child, it looks like and say, are you using the Webster's dictionary or there's no ga ga ga. But the basic flow was emotions of love. So the baby reacts not so much to your vocabulary. No baby does. You know? So you say, hey, baby, baby. And the baby says, sorry, it's enunciated. Baby, baby. Then I respond. No. The baby responds to your tone and the emotions behind. More than anything else. So sometimes you can feel a thought, but you don't know the thought. Sometimes you can get the words, but you can't feel the words. So they all can. Sometimes you can see an image. These are all dimensions in it. Now, just before we go into the practical area, one more area. So you're gonna, when are we going to start, you know? Right. Just one last one, please. Now you know why, how careful I am before I let people loose into the deep end. And so that you make sure you come back out of your deep end. The next thing to do is the word compassion. And I just got to throw out a few more verses. The word compassion is necessary. Compassion. And why is it so? Compassion, which is tender mercies in some old translation, but in the New Testament in Matthew 9 verse 36 is the word splagna in the Greek, splagnizomai. Matthew 9:36, he was moved with compassion on them, and of course he healed them. Matthew 14 verse 14, he was moved with compassion toward them. Because Matthew 18:27, same thing. And then you have the others like the leper in Mark 1:41. Jesus was moved with compassion and said, I will be healed to the leper. Compassion to me is a release of the love of God from your life to another. Agape love. Now, we're talking about how we can pick up things, remember, from the spiritual realm. And when you are most accurate, when you are the most loving. When you're most accurate, when you're the most loving. And so, let's run the first test of practical thing. You get your pen and your paper. And your mind is more in the area of a mode. Remember, you're not trying. Okay? It's not the word trying is the wrong word. It's the word flowing. Because you are not trying to cook something up yourself. You are tapping into a flow that is already there. So it's not you, but Spirit. So, we're going to use different parts of the piece of paper, so write from the left side, you know, giving space. Don't write big words and then you need another piece, please. So, give enough space for doing a bit more practical things. And now, without trying, but just flowing, I want you to close your eyes, and those who are listening to this message, you can do the same thing wherever you are. You have a pen and a piece of paper ready. Close your eyes. Meditate on the love of Jesus. The peace of Jesus surrounds you. You're just worshiping Him. And you understand that your spirit is where you're accessing. With your eyes closed so that you're not distracted by your physical body and the things around you. Your eyes are closed. And you're just free and flowing with the worship of God and His love for you, how much He loves you, how much you love Him, and the peace, the joy. Now, as you close your eyes, if right now you are sensing noise on your inside, then you're going to have a hard time because you're having too much static in your life that will block what you're going to get. But it doesn't matter. I just want you to pay attention to the fact that your own internal emotional noise may block you and hinder you. So just close your eyes and enjoy His love and His peace and His joy. And you can get into that mode to worship, to praise, to meditation. And then now, I'm going to say the nation of Israel. Israel as a nation. Now, open your eyes and just begin to write down what comes to you on the piece of paper when you think about Israel. Any words that come to you. Don't try to intellectual it, just whatever comes to you. And if there are any pictures, do a little drawing of it. If you could see some colors, write down what colors come to you. Then close and open your eyes if you need to go between them as you write down. Any smells that come to you, any scents, any thoughts, any pictures, any images, and just the word Israel, what strikes your mind? And you don't have anything, that's fine. You have something, write down. Just write down what comes. Don't try to understand the flow. That's for another matter. All right. Now, for lack of time, I got to stop you there. Now, let's just pick some of the things that some of you get. Right. What do you write down there? Mountain with a flag. Yourself? Anything? Celebration, yes. Children of God. Chosen by God. Shalom, peace. Timepiece of God, apple of God's eye. Walls of ancient cities. Picture of white rose. Wall in beige color, Jerusalem, yes. Olive tree. Star of David, smell of grass, yes. God's people in yellow. A map of Israel. Okay. Flag of Israel. Blue River, peace, yes. Mountain, yes. Star of David, yes. Israel flag, blue, white, Holy Land, God's great love for Israel, love, anybody else want to try here? Peace of the Lord, yes? Any, yes? Wall, agriculture, yellow. Okay, anything here? Green and blue? Yellow? Chicks, chicken. Interesting. Okay. Sorry, chickens? Can you see that? She pick up chicken, Okay, chicks, mother hen. Blue light, some of you blue light. Rose, jasmine, he sees a white rose. Okay, he's coming for them. Eunice? Tree of many fruits. Tasted dates. Streams of water flowing to the ground. Thank you. Fantastic, Sandy. Holy. Go. New Jerusalem. Agabus. Blue and white, Israel. It was not the flag, Israel. Blue and white, but it was not the flag, Israel. Okay. Love, apple. God's protection. Now, have you noticed there are some similarities? Now, the most important thing is you try not to think. Okay? Some of you answer that. Like our sister Eunice is a visionary. Okay? She has a gift of prophecy. She sees vision all the time. Most of the time, she cannot think with a left brain. She only sees. And one of her functions, and she can understand what this is going on, some of you begin to understand, is it's a different thing flowing than it is thinking. Okay, there's a time to think. Now, thinking is all right. You know, there are some preachers that get rid of thinking. Oh no, kick them. No, we need to think because we are responsible for our life. But you got to learn how to move in the mode of flowing and thinking. Obviously, if I'm teaching, I've done a lot of thinking. So many times, it's very hard for people to move in both anointing, teaching, and the Spirit because it is operating differently. When you operate in the Spirit, you are not allowed to think. If you think, you are putting the brakes on. That's why a lot of teachers cannot move in the Spirit. Too much thinking. And a lot of people who flow in the Spirit cannot teach. Too much flowing. They couldn't analyze line upon line, scripture upon scripture. So, the reason I can teach is because I flow in both. So, I could move into that realm and then come back into this realm. And the Lord spared me because He kept me for 10 years on the Word. Meditate on the Word, study the Word, and I came from a science background. If I come from any other background, gone already. You open the realm of the Spirit, very hard to get back. Want to talk to you, it's okay, not. Blank. But because some of us function more in the left brain and the right brain, you got to balance both. And you notice some of you are picking similar things. It is not, let me tell you, it is not a coincidence. Rose with the smell of rose, flax, mountains, flax, and a general sensing that God loves Israel. That God is looking out for her. That God wants to come in that nation. Now, is there anyone at the back? Can we show page 58 of my spiritual world book? Sharpen your wit. Okay. That's a drawing we have. Those who are listening to this message, look at spiritual world book, which is free on the website. And you see page 58, there's a picture of the body, where your body conscious, with the arrows pointing down. Soul conscious, where you're looking into yourself. Spirit conscious is when you're just out. And I didn't get to read 2 Corinthians 3:18, did I? Alright. Let me read it now. 2 Corinthians 3:18. What you are doing is being a receiver. You know, sometimes we are transmitters, sometimes we are receivers. But when you operate in the distance, you need to know a few laws of the Spirit. And one of the laws of the Spirit is this. To whatever you give your energy to, that will also sap your energy. Which is why you cannot afford to focus on the negative. That is why you cannot afford to keep rebuking. No. You just switch and turn on. You don't try not to have bad thoughts. You just think good thoughts. And the bad thoughts goes away. Understand what I'm talking about? Because to the whatever you give your energy or concentration or flowing to, it will suck up all your energy. You have to just tune into God. That's all. All in line with God, in the flow of God. What I'm showing you here is that your mind, your brain is a receiver. Now, you cannot prophesy with those things yet. Don't start taking those things and saying, "Thus says the Lord." It is not where "Thus says the Lord." It is your soul picking up from your spirit. And some of those things may need interpretation. That is why an experienced minister of God. Now, let me repeat. There are a lot of inexperienced ministers, some of them many years too, who teach people to open to this realm but doesn't differentiate "Thus says the Holy Spirit" from "Thus," from "I perceive." Or from "I think." So they mess everything up. But once you're able to differentiate between "Thus says the Holy Spirit," "I perceive," and "I think," you could move in all three dimensions, then you can discern the voice of the Lord. And you're just an open channel, and you know when the Spirit comes forth. What you have tasted by just practicing very loosely was just being open and receiving the impression. But you can see that the more love, peace, and joy you're surrounded, the cleaner the reception. Most of you who receive general things, they're still general. But when you begin to receive something special, it might be a message that God is speaking to Israel. See, that's where your thinking process goes in. Rose, white rose, what does it represent? So you begin to examine what white rose represents. Is there a message here? And to make it more accurate, you must have that sense of compassion towards what area. Remember I talked about zzzz, and you're trying to pick up those things? The zzzz, but they're looking at, must be with compassion. So when you want to receive a word of God for Israel, then you would have to have compassion for Israel. The more you have, the greater your receptivity. Your own emotions can cause static. So that's why when you begin to purify all your internal senses, that you will find the spirit realm is interesting. So the next time, you know, you don't even have to turn on the TV, just sit down quietly with the Bible, close your eyes. Wow, wow, ooh, wow, yes, Lord, wow, ooh, yes. You know, what are you doing? I'm watching God's TV. My spirit man. Now, understanding that, and that realm of the spirit, that spirit there, hey, I haven't read 2 Corinthians 3:18. I got to get to read this. It says, but we all with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from glory to glory, just as by the Spirit of the Lord. The key word is the word beholding. It's not the same word beholding as in 1 John 3:1, which is ideal. Not the same beholding as in Hebrews 12 verse 2, beholding Jesus, the author and finisher of our word, which is the word horao. Here the word beholding is only used 2 times in Philippians, and Paul talked about looking into how the Lord is going to lead him, which is the same way here. But here is very clear, is a Greek word, katop trinozomai. And that word, katop trinozomai, means, is from the Greek word mirror, which is katop trinon. So it takes a noun, a mirror, and make it into a verb. So the best translation is mirroring the Lord. Some translation says reflecting the Lord. So that's not too bad. Reflecting the glory of the Lord. Now, katop trinizomai is a passive beholding. It's a passive. What does a mirror do when you stand in front of a mirror? You want the mirror to be passive. Right? You don't want your mirror to be active, changing everything. And you're trying to comb your hair, the mirror keeps changing and it's actively changing your image. You want the mirror to be passive so you can see your real image. So it's a passive receiving. It's you setting your spirit, soul and body, waiting on God and being a receiver of the things of God. Now, before you go tonight, there's one more thing. When you're taking notes, just close your eyes for a moment. Meditate upon the love of God, all His grace and all His wisdom that He has. And let His compassion flow in your life. And then now think Singapore. Now, whatever comes to you, but I want you to go further. Singapore, 5 years from now. Whatever comes to you, just write, picture, word, whatever. See, you can begin to pick up things. And just keep enjoying. And feel, if you don't have anything, feel the compassion of God for Singapore. Give you a few minutes to write. Praise the Lord. Amen. Okay. Now, we're not finished yet. Those hearing this word, those here. And pick someone in your family whom you know. Some family member. And say, Lord, I just love this family member. And you have it in your heart and mind. You know who. And says, Lord, I just love them with the love of the Lord. Just pray for them right now quietly. Now, begin to sense what God is saying about their life. And write it down. Don't think, reflect, write. Just write it. And remember that it's a flow. not a trying. Flowing, not trying. And when you begin to do one, another comes, and another comes, and another comes, and another comes. So you're flowing. As you bring forth one thing, another comes, and another comes. Could be a word, a sense, a feeling, a picture, in any area. Alright. Now I know you could do more in that. And we need to close for the time being, but here is where we want to end. And we just pick out a random Singapore. Alright, anyone from here, Singapore, what do you get? Salvation? Prosperity? Light shining up? Yes? Anybody else from here? Here, this side, any Singapore? Huh? God's beloved city. Any on that side? Hey? I know you both got something, so I'm going to give a chance to the others. Yes? Brighter? Okay. Got anything there? Prosperous land to many nations. Now, you all are just tapping on that. When you become experienced in this area of receiving and transmission, sometimes you could even pray and say, God, I'm praying for Singapore, you know. And then as you pray for Singapore 5 years ahead, you got some natural knowledge what's happening 5 years ahead. So that you got from your natural knowledge. But there are other things that you didn't receive from natural that may begin to come to you. They may not understand, they write down. And then you got to test. This is only experimental. Not ready for releasing outside yet. But as you test it and you begin to look at it, if those things are more and more accurate, guess what? You sharpen your hearing. And then the other factor that I ask you to put about the person whom you who loved one. You're just speaking things. You notice it's a very passive thing. But yet it's active because you are sensing love. So it's not exactly like what people put into a passive mind where they don't think of anything. But it's more communion with God. And there's spirit-to-spirit communion. But you have at least an idea of what's taking place. And there are other ways of receiving which we hope to cover in the next two nights, and which can be more accurate, which you can enhance your accuracy in the things of God. You're just stepping into the flow of God that God has for you. And so what happens is sometimes when you receive, you can begin to look, because in the spiritual world, your eyesight, you see, if you go to heaven, how far you see and what you see is not limited by distance. Limited by your own spiritual growth. You can see as far as you want, and the picture of what you see will come and broaden, like opening up angle after angle. Like, for example, okay, can you borrow this? Little pussy. Okay, this little purse has basically is a reddish black color with all kinds of little design. And at first you just glance, oh, it's a reddish color thing. But then when you focus on it, you begin to see that it has designs, it has little star things, flowery star things design on it, or yellowish on black. And then you realize that the blue thing is like a little tongue or whatever you want, a design with some sort of curve. And then you begin to look at it, and then you begin to notice its texture. It's not exactly a cloth texture, it's like a plastic kind of texture. So what's happening? When you look at something in a natural, you can begin to look at details or general, correct? Trees or forests. When you begin to look at things in the spiritual, from the spiritual, or smell, everything, you could become more detailed. That we'll touch on, hopefully, tomorrow. Praise God. So, time has caught up with us. Let's give thanks to God. Father, we give thanks to you and ask that what is taught today will be used carefully, that it will be just an opening to them of what is possible in the spirit world. That your people would learn to discern, to know, to understand this realm of the spirit. And Father, preserve us from all the static within our own lives so that we can become an open channel of your spirit. We give you praise, glory, and honor for all that you do. In Jesus' name, amen.